Welcome to Visionaries. I'm your host, Jacob Wolf, an award-winning investigative journalist and the CEO and founder of Overcome. I'm joined by Prem. Prem, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. Excited, anxious about the topic of today's episode. You know, we'll get into it with our guest, Alex. Reddit is crashing and burning, for lack of a better way to describe what's happening. And there's a lot of discussion on that's very kind of focused on Reddit in particular, but I think that there's a larger discussion that you have about the availability of information on the internet.
Yeah, and I think to dive into it a little bit, we are going to be joined today by Alex Perrine, who is a journalist, previously worked for Gawker and Salon, now as a freelancer working at many different places, published a fantastic piece, which is why he was here on the show, published a fantastic piece on Defector about what's going on with Reddit. To catch you up a little bit of speed, although he does a good job of explaining what's going on with Reddit, basically every single piece of software has an API, and an API allows you to access that software and use it in various different ways to create tools around it. Reddit is one of the biggest websites on the internet. It basically swallowed up every forum board of old. It has become an extremely useful tool for people to gather, for people to share information. And it has a huge purpose in that part of people's lives. I mean, I talk about in the episode, so does Alex, finding home improvement tips on Reddit and finding the right answer there, but not the right answer somewhere else. And there are many interactions like that I think many people have had on the internet over time. Well, Reddit, their official app for iOS and Android, is bad. It's really bad.
It's terrible.
It is a bad user experience. It's not intuitive. It doesn't feel very good. And so, because previously its API was open to anyone, a lot of other people have created basically Reddit reading apps, such as Apollo, which we talk about in this episode, and a few others. And these apps, some of them have charged a premium for premium features. I personally pay like $1 a month for Apollo. And recently, Reddit, under pressure of investors, and they're looking to go public here shortly. So obviously they need to like make their revenues look good as they go through that public filing to become a public company. They have been under a lot of pressure to clean things up. And one of the ways that they think they can do that is by limiting access to their API by putting it behind some sort of paywall and making these developers who have had it for free for 17 years, 17 and a half years, pay for it. And that is not gone over so well as we dive in with Alex. Apollo, the developer for Apollo, came out in a long post and talked about his conversations. He even published audio recordings with Reddit people in that. It's been really, really hairy and nasty. And what's happened over the past couple of weeks and why Alex is here is that a lot of the moderators of subreddits, these forum boards, etc., who are volunteers, they don't get paid by Reddit, they are functionally revolting on many different subreddits. They are taking their subreddits private, allowing for people who aren't subscribed to them not to access them. It's causing a lot of chaos because Google does a good job of indexing Reddit. And so when these things go private, you can't access that information in those threads anymore. So all these Google searches are going to nowhere. And while the boycott has definitely had some people break from it, many of them have just ended up trolling, just posting like Photoshop pictures of John Oliver on a bunch of other things, which we talk about as well, which is funny, but yes. And I think the bigger topic of conversation we want to get into, and Prem, I definitely want you to chime in here, is the open access nature of the internet. And you'll hear that in this episode, and how the internet has been free for a really long time. And a lot of people thought about innovation on the internet before they thought about monetization on the internet. And now a lot of these websites have reached a maturity point. Twitter is going through the exact same issue. They've reached a maturity point where they need revenue. They need to be real functional businesses with revenue. There's not free investor money anymore. There's not free debt anymore for them because interest rates are spiking as we look towards an economic downturn. There are a lot of other factors going on. And so therefore, a lot of these companies are trying to find ways to make money. This one in particular, though, has really pissed people off.
Yeah. This is one of the biggest hits to the availability of discussion and information in a while. Like, I was thinking about this recently. I remember when the idea was that you couldn't look things up on the internet because you didn't know if they were verified. Like back in the early to mid to late 2000s, or yeah, the early to mid 2000s. And eventually they got to the point that like, okay, Wikipedia, you can find the sources, you can verify information. That became a reliable way to learn. Around that same time, I remember when all of the newspapers started paywalling their content. Like when I would do research projects back in high school, I could just look up topic New York Times and find some historical article that freely available. Nowadays, that is just harder. And the way around that is to hope that every institution has a license that the students can use to access information. But again, in the same way that Reddit is doing, the access for that is expensive. It's not cheap for a company or an organization to get a site license. For academic research, for example, it costs thousands upon thousands of dollars for every few hundred users to have access to like the Elsevier databases. That's nuts. It's not sustainable. It's not reasonable. If we aspire to kind of have these as resources, they need to be readily available. And Reddit is one that it's good for everything else. Like I'm half an hour ago ran into exactly this issue. I was trying to do research on a purchase I want to make. I went to the relevant subreddit and it's locked. They are protesting. And so this place that has, like you said, eaten up all of the other forums, where all of the other forums have become either kind of these dead or dying places, Reddit kind of scooped them up and let you have any number of those discussions as you wanted. And it's just not there anymore. I can't figure out if the thing I want to buy is good value. If I should be saving up to do something else or looking for a different option. All of those discussions are just gone. Googling is pointless because every time I Google it, I get a couple pages of every Reddit thread, none of which I can access. And so there's a part of me that feels like Reddit is the canary in the coal mine, but it's like the biggest one that impacts ostensibly the most potential people. Anyone who wanted to do research on a purchase, they want to do home improvement, they want to look up stories and fan discussions of their favorite games, movies, TV shows, whatever, all of that, the access is becoming immediately harder on July 1st. And there's no indication that they're going to walk it back.
No, they're doubling down. In fact, you know, Steve Huffman, who's the CEO of Reddit, basically complimented Elon Musk and his ability to cut costs at Twitter since he acquired it, and has completely just doubled down. It doesn't look like they're going to walk it back at all. They've threatened to oust some of these moderators that they don't
comply. They have ousted a lot of these moderators. That yep. Process is already happening. It's kind of wild because it's all a very legal gray area.
Yeah.
You know, none of the mods are workers. None of them are paid.
They're not. They're all volunteers. They all chose to be in this position to start their subreddits, moderate their subreddits. But they run very intricate communities. These are very central to the lifeblood of various different parts of entertainment and tech and all sorts of things. I mean, it's so, so deep. But I think
the big one that comes to mind is our celebrities. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's just where you go to have the celebrity gossip conversations. It was one of the first communities in Reddit. It's been around, I think, for like 16 years. And the creator of the subreddit and the head mod said, we're going to keep it private for the protest. It is a massively trafficked subreddit. Reddit unmodded him, did basically a hostile takeover of this massive community, and is just running it as normal. And you know, this person who he dumped, you know, a portion of the last 16 years of his life into this, it's all for naught now. It's all worthless.
Yeah. It's really sad. It's a difficult conversation. Alex does a great job of explaining it, though. I think he knows the topic all too well. So we'll dive into our conversation. Here's our conversation with Alex Perrine. Before we jump in, though, just a reminder, please, we say this every single episode, please give us reviews on Apple Podcasts. It is really, really, really helpful in many ways, including other people finding the show. We'll be having some announcements around that. We're going to probably run a giveaway transparently for some of our listeners. We'll be doing that pretty soon. So stay tuned to the next couple of episodes of Visionaries as well. But thank you all for listening. We appreciate all the kind words. We got hit up several times this past week about the pod, which is always appreciated. So yeah, that's it. That's our only call to action. We'll dive in. Here is our interview with Alex Perrine. We're joined by Alex Perrine, journalist who has been reporting recently on Reddit and all things Reddit. Alex, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay. As the listeners of the show know, I've been recovering from a broken arm, and so I've been getting better every single day. I was at PT yesterday and making good progress, so every day is better, which is good.
I'm glad to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was Troy Baker was on the show right after I broke it, the Last of Us star, and it's just like he's just like saw me like this. He like was so sad, but yeah, it's okay. It's better now.
All right, good.
So high level for us here, Prime and I will, you know, obviously preface this a little bit in the intro, but tell us a little bit about what's going on with Reddit for like the layman that may not know anything else besides the platform. What is the big change here?
Yeah, so I'm, you know, I could say, like, I could explain what Reddit is, but it's such a huge website, I'm going to assume you at least know what Reddit is. but if you haven't been paying attention to the news, basically, what Reddit has decided, after many, many years of offering it for free, they decided to start charging for their API. And basically what that means is for third-party apps that, you know, people can access Reddit through a third-party app not produced by Reddit, they used to get all of the data from Reddit for free for years and years and years and years. They would get the data for free, which allowed these apps to work. So a third-party app would like let you post on Reddit or moderate a subreddit, and they were getting all of Reddit's data for free. And Reddit decided to start charging, which in and of itself is not unheard of or unusual, but some of the most prominent developers of the third-party apps that especially moderators and super users are fond of using came out and said that the price Reddit set was unreasonable, it was too high, and that they were given basically too little time to adapt. When big tech companies make these changes, oftentimes, if a Google or someone like that does it, they will give their partners and their outside developers you know, a year or so to prepare for these changes. In this case, Reddit was basically saying, you know, you have a month or two, and then we're going to start charging you per user after we've never charged before. We're going to start charging you a lot more money, basically. Yep. So this would have crippled, you know, or severely curtailed a lot of these third-party apps. And, the you know, when the developers spoke out, the Reddit users, a bunch of moderators and people who run subreddits, decided to go on a sort of strike. And many of them, including some of the most popular and most visited subreddits, went dark, which is to say they went private, to protest the change and to protest the way the change was being implemented. Some of them said they would do it for 48 hours. Some of them said they would do it indefinitely. As of now, I mean, I haven't actually checked. I think a lot of them are back, but not all of them are back. And going private means, you know, it's if you are not a subscriber, if you're not in that subreddit already, you can't access it. You can't find it on Google, all these other things. So, and then, so, the, you know, this is the context, the important context. And you can interrupt me with a question if you like. But the important context here is that, like, Reddit has been around for a lot of years and has never been that profitable considering its size. But they would like to take it public. They've taken some venture capital money. They've had some investors. They're still partly owned by Condé Nast. And basically, it, before, you know, they filed for an IPO a few years ago, the excitement around it and the value of it has gone down since they filed for it a few years ago, but they still seem determined to sort of do it this year. So in the in that context, like the sudden decision to charge a lot for API access, they framed it as being about large language model AI programs that were trawling
web scraping,
which is a sort of reasonable thing to want to be remunerated for. But as it has dragged on, it has seemed more about an actual attempt to kill these third-party apps, which the CEO, Steve Huffman, has sounded sort of increasingly combative about. And, you know, no longer sort of sounding like someone who wants to negotiate with them, but someone who has been calling them basically like freeloaders who have been like, you know,
profiting off of Reddit's sort of data and IP, I think is sort of the way he's framed.
That's the way he framed it at this point. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the little bit of context for the added listener, as someone who uses one of these apps, actually, I pay for Apollo, which is probably the biggest app of all of them that's being squashed. Mm-hmm. I think the creator of Apollo said that it was going to cost somewhere, I think, I can't remember if it was $20 million a month or $20 million a year to basically run this app, which he does as a, you know, now he does a full-time gig, but he was at Apple at a period of time when he started developing this app as a side hustle.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the context that the listeners need to know is, like, especially if you're not a Reddit user, which I would imagine a lot of our listeners are, but for those that aren't, you know, the Reddit main app is not good. It is not a good experience at all. And for a long time, too, it just didn't exist, right? Like, you had to use Reddit in browser. Reddit, despite being around, as you mentioned, since 2005, and notably, actually, I think some more context I'd like to add is that Reddit was a part of the initial Y Combinator batch, one of the early Y Combinator batches in investment, which also included the likes of a calendar app that was founded by the same group that went on to found Justin TV, aka Twitch, which we've talked a lot about on this pod. Mm-hmm. Airbnb was in that early group also. Mm-hmm. And so there are many of these companies that have come on to like really impact the world as we know it, in live streaming and elsewhere. And Reddit was a part of that group. Steve Huffman was, as you said, one of the co-founders also, in addition to being their CEO. So he was a part of that early group. But yeah, they despite being such a predominant traffic driver and traffic intake on the internet for the past, you know, 17 years, they have been really slow to move into the mobile app world. And and in that void, I think, and in that lack of sort of good user experience, a lot of these like third party devs have come in to sort of build things of their own.
Right. I'm by no means a Reddit super user, but from my understanding, you know, these apps, because they have more features and are better than the official Reddit app, are especially popular with the actual moderators, who essentially are volunteers who run these incredibly high trafficked subreddits.
Right. Well, I think that's the other context too we need to talk about just a little bit, is how Reddit does find its content, right? So much of it is user generated. It is the subreddits, individual forum boards, as I'm sure people know, with moderators who are generally pretty passionate about whatever the topic is, be it video games or sports, or, you know, go down the long list of things that people use the website for, but those two immediately come to mind. And, you know, the biggest thing is that all the content from Reddit comes from users, be it it's linking out to news articles or anything else, which it used to have more of an impact on news websites. I remember when I worked at the Daily Dot the first time, 2015, Reddit was such a huge traffic driver for everything we did. Google was, you know, now outweighs it for everything else. But, you know, also people just creating blog posts. I know you mentioned in your article that you had like a home improvement project you wanted to do. And like you can find everything. I had the same interaction with Reddit. It's very, very helpful for people giving sort of like peer generated advice. You're right. The moderators aren't paid. This is the problem, too, is like it's right. not like Facebook or not Twitter currently, but Facebook or Twitter in the past, et cetera, that have like trust and safety teams. Reddit does, but not to the same level of staffing that are like scrolling through and finding the worst parts of it. There is some of that, but mostly it's just moderators. It's just these like optional or, you know, unpaid, passionate people who are doing this as part of their life for
who care a lot about the subject, basically. Yeah.
And
I think that's you sort of mentioned it, but I think that's been an interesting shift in Reddit's place on the internet, especially from my perspective here over, because, you know, you said it was like a huge driver of traffic, and, you know, it was, but it was like much more like, if anyone, you know, is old enough to remember FARC and Dig, but it was like sort of much more like that, right? Where it was, it was a link aggregator. The point of Reddit sort of originally was like many of these other sites, it was like how to discover new things on the web. But over 10 years plus, it became much, much more about these communities and about the user generated content, which has become so important, you know, important to Reddit, but sort of important to the internet in general, that like, a lot of people were, I mean, very seriously saying all of their Google searches were broken when the subreddits were down, because everything, you know, if it was a particular tech support issue or all these other subjects that you wanted to Google these things, like the first, you know, page of links would have a bunch of Reddit links. And if those
and they're often more accurate, as you point out, than like some random, you know, SEO generated thing. I find that Reddit usually has, especially like Reddit comments, just like usually have better advice for some of these things than a lot of these SEO generated websites.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And it's a little bit like, well, it's funny because to some extent, that's the very old-fashioned dream of the internet, was like, you know, bringing together, you know, subject matter experts and enthusiasts and all that other stuff. And then like you mentioned, I go in there with a sort of arcane question about home networking, about setting up Mocha to get, you know, internet through coax, right? And it's like, I'm not going to find the article I need about that on CNET, or I don't think, right? But if I go and I ask the question correctly, a guy on Reddit who I've never met before, like, helpfully walked me through everything I needed. And that's hard to replace once you have built a place. Once you have built a place where that happens, it's hard to replace. But unfortunately, building a place where that happens is not like good for explosive profit growth.
Yeah, I think that's, it's the telltale issue. And I do want to circle back. I want to talk more about Reddit, but I do want to circle back a little bit on Twitter, because I do think it's an interesting comparison. And it's one that Steve Huffman, the CEO of Reddit, just made himself.
He's inviting it now. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, like, walk our listeners through maybe a little bit the timeline of how things have played out over the past couple of weeks, as you've seen it, from like the, you know, the developers of Apollo and some of the other apps, like speaking out about what this would do to their apps, obviously like throwing in outrage with the moderators, etc., to like present day, what's happened now.
Yeah. From my, you know, sort of understanding, it seems like, and you mentioned the developer of Apollo, which is one of the biggest of these apps, and I think was even mentioned in Apple's last like presentation for their new VR thing. Like, that's how sort of prominent it is. But like, the developer is one guy, And from his narrative, basically, like what started as a conversation about, you know, how they can find a sort of mutually beneficial solution, like sort of there was a period in which like he heard they were going to start making API changes. They went radio silent. And then when they finally came back to him, they had these very, very pricey numbers that didn't make sense for him. And then they just haven't sort of wanted to budge on that. Or he says they haven't wanted to sort of, you know, negotiate in good faith. But in the meantime, Huffman, the CEO, like he did a Q&A on the site and on Ask Me Anything, as it's called on Reddit. But he did a Q&A on the site where I might have the number wrong, but I think he answered like 14 questions. But like, it was just like a sort of universally negative. Everyone was, you know, all of his answers were downvoted. But he has, I think, made a pretty clear like turn to, I said much more combative, but he has, you know, in an interview, because he's done a couple interviews since then, he has basically praised the way Elon Musk has been operating since he took over Twitter. And what Elon Musk has done since he took over Twitter was, you know, fire or force out a huge, huge, huge amount of the staff and sort of not necessarily mind that much if things that used to work like sort of slowly get broken while like randomly introducing new features no one asked for. But I think the sort of and charge for the API, because that was the other thing, is Elon wanted to have the Twitter API be another sort of absurdly large number that I can't remember off the top of my head. But it was like a sort of absurdly expensive to get access to the Twitter API, to the point where, like, you know, I live in New York, and the subway system here has a Twitter account that like tells you if there's a disruption on the train. Like the Twitter account will be like, the queue is not running. Incredibly convenient, right? Because it's like easier than checking a website. But the MTA, which runs the subway, was going to shut it down because they were like, this API access for us to keep doing this is completely insane. And we just can't do this anymore. So it's that kind of, you know, charging ahead with changes that maybe sound good. You're like, oh, you know, why don't we just, if we need to make money quickly, why don't we charge a lot of money for our API without thinking about how do people currently use it? You know, what are the ways in which currently the way we have been doing it has been helpful for our users and for people in general? So sort of charging ahead with that, I think the MTA eventually got some sort of like way to keep going on Twitter. But anyway, the thing about sort of the way Musk has been running Twitter is that, like, you know, if you're a fan of his, you can like the changes he's made to the platform, but no one can say that he has done very much to make it worth what he paid for it. So I found it very odd. I found it very odd when Huffman all of a sudden was like, in an interview, was sort of praising the what Elon Musk has done over at Twitter. And because it seems to me at that point that, because again, we can't say from a business perspective, Twitter is suddenly about to become a hugely profitable company. So I mean, it seems very ideological to me, really, to sort of praise the way someone just came in and effectively said, screw all of you, I'm going to do what I want with my platform because it's mine. That's how I read it. I completely did not pun there. But because, you know, as I mentioned, the idea here is to, you know, try to make the site look attractive for investors. And that's the idea. Try to make it look attractive for investors. And so that can explain a lot of, you know, a reason why third-party apps, why they might want to kill them. Is that ads aren't served on them. And Reddit is a primarily advertising supported business. Yeah. Yep. And, yep. But, you know, but even in that case, like, it seems to me that, you know, given care and attention, that could have just been figured out. But I think there was a sort of, you know, decision was made that it's like not worth it to try to figure these things out. We're just going to like charge ahead with what we want to do.
In terms of why you think that squeeze is happening, I listen a lot to Scott Galloway, the NYU professor who does like a lot of business stuff. And it's come to fruition what he said, I think, when Elon bought Twitter and started gutting it, right? And I think like I don't know if the total reported numbers out there, but Elon, you know, there was basically some of the leak projections for what he was going to do was cut around 75% of Twitter staff and thousands of employees out the door over X period in months. And, you know, the business still functions a little bit, right? Like I've had a lot of Twitter issues. We've had a lot of Twitter issues. But I think why Twitter is a different comparison than Reddit is like you stand, at least in my opinion, you stand to gain a lot from Twitter if you can use it effectively to move people to elsewhere, you know,
that's right.
Patreon, yeah. Substack, etc. We obviously saw Elon blacklist Substack links off of Twitter for a period of time as well. And I still think, I mean, Substack, I was a partnered writer for a year and Substack sent out like a whole thing to a lot of us that was like, here's how you should promote on Twitter now to like get around some of these loopholes. So they're like trying trying to coach us through it basically. And, you know, I have found that at least Twitter like has some benefit because you can build your profile and go off, right? Like in the API users, some of them help you do that actually. Whereas Reddit is much more mundane, right? Like again, it's mostly like third-party clients that are using the API more than anything. I think the Apollo creator said that he was doing about 7 billion API pulls a month or so. And it sounds like the pricing sounds affordable. I think Reddit's price was like 24 cents per 1,000 pulls. But then you start doing the math and it's like, wait a second, like per 1,000 pulls, what is 7 billion pulls divided by 1,000, right? And then you get to your number and it's like millions. It's a very expensive number. And so I think that's the problem. But I want to ask you from like, and I have some broader macroeconomic context I'll add at the end of this, but like, why do you think the squeeze is happening right now? The squeeze to make this revenue?
Yeah, I mean, from a macroeconomic perspective, globally, tech has been hit really hard in the last year in a way that other industries really haven't. And one reason for that is the environment in which a lot of these tech companies came up was one in which it was trivially easy to raise money and unimportant to show a profit for not just for a short amount of time, but sometimes for years. If you could project massive growth, the fact that you were losing a fortune all the time didn't matter. There was just a lot of cheap money looking for explosive growth. And this is the basically zero interest rates was sort of one of the big macroeconomic reasons for it. It was money was cheap, so to speak. And that period has come to an end. And, you know, now we're in a period of the Fed raising rates, a period of the first time we've had sustained inflation in my adult life. And I think some people refer to them as zombie companies, which are these tech companies that basically were not only never profitable, but never made sense as a business, as a thing that could become profitable. And they are the ones hit hardest in this environment because a lot of their business just relied on continual investment despite not showing returns. So it all sounds sort of crazy, but that's how the industry worked for a long time. So Reddit is older, more established than a lot of those companies, but it's one of those companies that has just not been profitable, like just basically period, ever, for a lot of reasons. But from my understanding, at the height of the meme stock boom, that was when they decided to file for an IPO, when Reddit was being talked about in the financial press as like the place that was moving the stock market. That is when they had attracted all this outside investment. That's when they decided to file for an IPO. What happens at an IPO is your founders, they cash out. You know, that's what the dream is. They cash out. That was a few years ago at this point, and the value of the company has, you know, declined because it has not turned out, you know, to be monetizable. What Reddit does, I think, is important. I think what Reddit does is useful and important, but it's very, very difficult to monetize. And the ad Like, we've seen it in media. We've seen it wherever your business depends on advertising. It's a really hard way to make a living right now, especially when, you know, advertising is sort of also effectively a duopoly. But yeah, so ad supported, not a great business model. Reddit's been unprofitable forever, but, you know, the people who invested a lot of money a few years ago want to see a return.
Right. And I think that that's, I think you're totally right. You know, I think you look at Reddit has just enough scale, I think, to be super relevant to the internet, but not enough scale to be Facebook.
That's right.
And that's the barometer, right? Like, Facebook has made, ignore all the money they're losing right now on virtual reality and like Mark Zuckerberg's quest.
Well, the only reason they're losing money is because they spent it on absurd things. Because otherwise,
right,
they're a very, very, very rich company.
Right. But Facebook is able to hit this like crazy advertising scale because of both Facebook and Instagram as well. And, you know, their acquisition of Instagram at a discount of a price when they bought it. Certainly, it would be much more premium now. But they own a huge chunk of the internet. Same thing with Google, right? Google has a really successful advertising business because it's huge. Reddit is like in this weird, and Twitter is the same. Again, I know like the comparisons keep coming up. It's just big enough to be really, really relevant, but not big enough to make the numbers shake out perfectly. And I think that's the biggest problem with Reddit as a website, is it just like it infinite scale did not exist for this website.
And that, I think that's totally right. And it also explains the weird place that both those, because I think as platforms, they are very, very different. But I do think that explains the weird place they both find themselves in, because they have, you know, they have the mind share, they have the user base, they have their sort of overall importance, but they're just not large and powerful enough to, you know, control a market as effectively as Facebook and Google are. And so I think that's part of the reason why the, you know, Twitter's, you know, I mean, that's why Twitter, you know, went to court to make Elon buy them, essentially, because they weren't going to see that price again that he had offered. And, you know, the people who have been investing in these sites, people who have been, you know, looking for a return from operating these massive, massive platforms for a long time, are basically like, I think, like, it's now or never. Like, we gotta get a return now.
Yeah, and I think too, like, the other thing about them that differs from Facebook is how relevant Facebook is in countries in the rest of the world besides West, right? Yeah. Like, Reddit is very, and Twitter are very successful in North America and Europe in particular, but mostly in the rest of the Western Hemisphere, South America, and some places too. But there are alternatives to them in China and other places, right? And that are more active and more used in places like China and South Korea, because there are other massive companies where those things exist. And so therefore, you know, it's not as relevant as, you know, Facebook is like the internet's phone book, is the way I always think about it.
That's
like,
right.
Everybody's there, right?
Yeah.
In the entire fucking world, somebody, you know, has a Facebook profile. It's pretty massive. Whereas Twitter, it takes up a lot of our brain. I think a lot of media people in particular are very addicted to it, myself included. But it's not the same. You can't find everyone on Twitter.
And that lack of global reach, like, you know, puts a cap on potential growth too, right? Because it's very unlikely they're ever going to replace, you know, the sort of
the Weibos of the world,
et cetera. That's right.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about like the revolt, right?
Because
I think it was like, you know, the original plan for a lot of these Reddit moderators on some of the biggest, most used forum boards on the entire website. I think RMBA was one of them, which RMBA is the, you know, the NBA fan subreddit.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Massive subreddit. Like you said, they went private. If you weren't already subscribed, you couldn't access it, right? A lot of people don't subscribe. They just like open it up on the, you know, on the app or on the website and just look at it or whatever.
That's right.
I'm victim of that. I don't subscribe to a lot of the subreddits.
Me too.
So I'm a perpetrator in that case. But they went private. Some of them went private for 48 hours and are now back. Some of them are still private, as you mentioned. And some of them have come back, and instead of just being private, the user bases and the moderators have started posting John Oliver pictures.
Yeah.
As as this way to show protest. So for a while there, I don't think we can open Reddit right now in the middle of this podcast. I don't think this is the case anymore. But the beginning, or like my entire Reddit homepage, yeah, it is not the case anymore. The entire Reddit homepage for a little bit there was John Oliver.
With John pictures. Oliver pictures, yeah.
Yes, yes. So do you think that this protest has been anywhat effective? Or do you think like people were just giving up and realized like, you know, it's, if we want something to exist, it's gonna continue to exist no matter what. And we're just going to have to give up.
Well, you know, any kind of you know, protest, you have to, it's really hard to sort of come down completely one side or the other about its efficacy, because I think that the way I sort of said it before was literally the only leverage the users have, and the only leverage the sort of moderators, the sort of unpaid workforce of Reddit have, the only leverage they have is, you know, their control of what goes on the site, which gives them a lot of control over the value of the site. So a continued and sustained like battle has the potential to damage Reddit. And the threat of damage to Reddit, you know, sort of institutionally as and damage to its traffic, damage to its user base, like that threat is sort of the only thing that could potentially change the minds of the people running it. But I also think it's a losing battle. I think that because I was trying to just read up the latest before I came on, but you know, the people in charge of Reddit have the ability to remove moderators. I mean, it's that simple. They can replace people who break the rules, or they can replace people who are, you know, just inconveniencing them. And I think the end result could be like a Reddit that is less helpful and less useful and less interesting, because a lot of the people we're talking about leave or are forced out. But, you know, one that otherwise still exists essentially like it did before. And that's not really a victory. That's not a victory for Reddit, because that's not a wildly profitable platform. That's just a slightly diminished version of the thing they already had. But at the same time, like, that seems like kind of the direction we're just heading in right now to me.
Why do you think they've not tried to go the route? And obviously they have, like, you know, you can guild people and give people Reddit gold, et cetera. So they have had this service, but it's really not super relevant anymore. It, you know, I used to partake a lot more in the League of Legends subreddit, which is one of the biggest subreddits on the website. And
yeah,
the League subreddit would do that when somebody would make a really cool piece of content or whatever directly on the website and be like, oh, here's Reddit gold, you know, thanks for your thing, like an optional thing. But why do you think they've not tried to go the Elon Musk route of like trying to get people to pay for a user-based subscription?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I would suspect, this is complete speculation, so please don't to think that I have any knowledge here, but I would suspect that when they have done research around that idea, they think it wouldn't lead to sort of like the explosive growth that they think they want, right? Like adding a charge for certain things would not lead to like a new influx of users or something like that. They would be hoping for to show growth. You know, overall, I think it seems like the sanest solution to me to figure out what to do with the third party apps that don't run advertising, to figure out, you know, what to do with all these other things. It seems like the sanest solution would be to establish that sort of subscription thing like you're talking about. Even if it didn't solve all of their problems, it does seem like it could be something that could be made to work for most people. But for whatever reason, they don't seem interested in pursuing it that seriously.
Yeah, I do wonder, and I'm sure they'd like lose a certain amount of users over this, but it's like, oh, you can access, similar to Defector, actually, the website that you just read this article for, you can access X number of articles, we'll give you a counter, and when you're done with the counter, you got to pay. Right. Like, and maybe that's like a daily. You can access 5 Reddit posts, 7 Reddit posts a day, and then like you have to pay. So for like the super user, right? The super user is incentivized to, hey, I want to, you know, pay for this. I am very curious why that was not. I'm sure it was discussed. I'm curious why it was not.
Why they wouldn't pick. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And like I said, I don't know, but I can only speculate. Yeah.
What do you think the internet looks like? Because this is the end of your piece. What do you think the internet looks like after this? How do you think things are moving?
I mean, look, my piece had a very pessimistic ending, and I hope I'm wrong, right? Because I'm not the sort of person who makes, you know, I don't bet on sports, right? I don't make a lot of predictions, so I hope I'm wrong here. But my pessimistic vision is, a lot of the things that we take for granted about the internet now, and things that we used to take for granted about the web, I'm speaking mainly about the web, I guess, right now, but a lot of the sort of good things about it are endangered. And some of those good things are, like I was describing earlier, your sort of ability to find useful information quickly, your ability to know where to go to find that useful information, the way that, again, if you have, even if you, so like, you can't figure out why your plant is dying and you Google it and you end up in a subreddit for plants and someone in that subreddit for plants can help you. That's a really mundane thing that happens probably 100 times a day, you know? And that's exactly the kind of thing that is potentially threatened right now, because I think the future certain people want to build is one where, you know, you ask an AI-enabled search engine like Bing or Google's moving in this way too, and it sort of uses its corpus knowledge of things that it's read to give you an answer that reads coherently, but is not necessarily going to be correct, right? And especially like large language models, I have always found it that people are insisting on using them as search engines because they're indifferent to truth. They're very remarkable programs. Like, they're really cool and they do a lot of really cool things. But I just find them as to be a very strange thing to want to make into a search engine, considering that they are essentially programmed to just write things that sound plausible without knowing whether they're true or not. But anyway, so this is kind of like what I fear here is that, like, all right, so all of these wonderful communities of helpful, intelligent people are going to go behind not just paywalls. And I wrote this for a site that has a paywall, which is a bummer because as much as I think you should give Defector your money, I love writing for the internet, like for everyone to read, right? I love writing for a mass audience, but, so a lot of important information will be behind paywalls. A lot of important communities will be in private forums. I think the rise of Discord has been a really interesting move in that direction because it's not indexable and searchable the way Reddit was or the way message boards were or the way Usenet was originally. So the public-facing internet, the internet that you find without having to know which group to join, the internet you find without having to pay money gets less useful. It gets less helpful. And, you know, it's not just because of a few villains who want this to happen, because of a lot of other forces. But, you know, a big one is that a lot of these things we liked about the internet just weren't making enough money because,
right. Yeah,
they just like it turned out as useful as they were never actually a good business model.
Well, and I think we've gotten to a point on the internet where we've started to realize that, right? Like there was a little bit of this like honeymoon period, call it 20 some years, right? From the early 2000s to present when people started actually like, you know, actively using the internet in mass scale, right? And it became more accessible to have access to the internet in the turn of the century. And I think that, or the turn of the millennium, I think that a lot of people, didn't think these things through till now, right? Like, they just didn't think about innovation moved faster than like business development, right?
That's
like,
right.
And now business development's catching up, and business development has bills to pay. No infinite amount of money from venture capitalists or billionaires or from granted just like loans and everything else you mentioned earlier too about how lending is in a really bad spot. There's not just like free money and free cash for internet innovators anymore. and I think like that's the problem. That is the problem we are facing is that all these things are turning over.
Yeah. And, you know, you could just sort of build something because it was cool before, right? Or you could build something because you thought it would be useful before. And, you know, we might just be entering a period where you don't get to that step until you can show that it actually will make money.
Yeah. I mean, we're two journalists here. I have told a lot of young journalism students over the past year and a half that I've met with. I live in Austin. UT has one of the best programs in the country. I get an opportunity to meet with students like on a relatively frequent basis that are in media spaces and professors too. And what I've emphasized a lot, and what I think, you know, education for journalists is kind of changing over to, is like, it's not just good enough to be a journalist anymore. You also have to be a content marketer. That is like such an important part of what you do. Because like, you know, the Substack models, the Patreon models, everything else, like the way that you make consistent income, subscribers, you know, the subscription is coming back is a valuable use of stuff. But the only way you get that is learning how to market your content, right? And converting like the freemium or the free user into the paid user, and like, you know, proposition values, pricing structures, like all these things they're not teaching you when you're sitting in a class learning how to like access public records, basically, right? Like those are two very different skill sets.
And I think like, well, it's so different too that the people who would be teaching you journalism don't know it themselves, right? So that's why, like, it's a lot of this stuff.
They lived in a different world. They didn't need to. There worked at newspapers or like the early online digital media publications that like all of those places like did all those things for you. I said on the show week before last that like now as an independent, as someone who's been independent for a little bit more than a year now, but a year and a half now, like fully and not having not ESPN or another like part-time job somewhere else. Like now I have to worry about my distribution. I never had to worry about my distribution. There was some like BD dude that knew how to do all that.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're going to put you on this thing and this thing and this thing. And this is how we're going to go get audience. And
That's exactly right. And when I grew up wanting to be a writer, you know, my dream was to like, I mean, just have a, you know, a magazine job or something. And I've had a magazine job. It was really fun. But like, to actually have a career, I need to learn all these things you're talking about. Like, I'd like all these things that I, you know, were not even on my radar, obviously, at the time. But it's interesting to be in a time where we are inventing it as we go along. But, you know, as with any other sort of change on this scale, sometimes, you know, I mourn what we're losing on the way.
Yeah. And I don't think large language models fix that either. I don't think ChatGPT fixes this because like, you know, what, you're going to start charging per pull on ChatGPT?
Well, that's actually a great question, too, because that's another example of something where right now they're giving away so much of it for free. And like, I mean, I feel like we're going to, I don't know, like that could be changing eventually, too. Like, I don't know. That's going to be really interesting.
I pay for a few different AI programs, but they're all B2B use case, right? So like actually, you know, I was just talking to the CEO of this other one. We used to edit this podcast program called Resound, and great AI program, not an LLM, but it knows filler words in podcasts, and it goes through and it scans the entire thing and goes like, here's an and it gives you a rough cut, and they're not perfect. But if you know audio waveforms, which I do, and some of the people on our team do, you can go like, okay, well, you need to like cut this little waveform and you need to extend out to the next part of the sentence. So it's this is a very smooth listening experience for the audience. I'm sure the audience listening to this did not know this because they don't hear it. They all of us have always been pulled. I used to do this manually though, and it would take me hours in Adobe Audition sitting there being a pain in the ass trying to like ripple delete. And so I've used that. We use some in like our marketing copy, et cetera, too. Like there are some, again, another B2B use case, and it's not like creating content for us as much as editing content for us to like be more quippy or whatever else, right? Like granted, that was used to be not in our org, but that used to be somebody's actual job to like copyright and copy edit for marketing. And it makes it a little bit easier, but it is easier on startups. But, you know, I think the search engine ones, the information providing ones, this problem is not fixed by just, you know, having Google Bard or Bing or any of the others. I know you mentioned in your piece, Bing gave you a shitty answer for something you were looking for that you found on Reddit. So,
And, you know, and that's right. And I mean, that's the thing is like, there's a lot of uses for these programs that are require human management first and foremost. Like they still require a sort of human oversight. But I think the people who dream of them replace, and, you know, this is maybe it sounds a little bit, you know, I'm self-interested, but the people who dream of them, you know, replacing journalists or replacing like communities of people, that's it just doesn't seem like it's going to work. It just doesn't seem like it's going to work to me.
They're only going to replace the ones where the content aren't original, right? Like if something you're writing has like an opinion or a take in it, or something I'm writing has an opinion or a take in it, it can't replace us because it can't have an emotion, right? And so like that's really unique. Like a perspective is what wins out. But if it's just like web scraping, regurgitating, I think the one it's going to kill, at least most relevant to my audience, I think it, you know, LLMs kill a lot of these, like, how do I beat the shrine in Tears of the Kingdom?
Totally. Right?
Those it's going to keep the gaming ones.
Yeah, like content like mills and
guide content. It's going to kill those. Those are going to die because those are so like it can't play the game themselves. But all it takes is one person to write an article on how to do that. And the scraper to find it.
And the scraper will find it.
And the scraper will find it and it will display. And I saw somebody post a screenshot of this. I called it out on Twitter a few weeks ago. It will display at the top of Google your Google search because they were testing the AI enabled search for Google as a beta tester or alpha tester. And it will go like, okay, here is the answer right at the top rather than, hey, now you have to scroll down and click through a bunch of links and some of them are right, some of them are wrong, right? Yeah. Like, so now it's just like, here's the one, right? It does a good job discerning that. But I do agree. I don't think it replaces the expertise, the knowledge, the perspective, etc. And I think like that's, I mean, that is what Reddit's been really useful for, right? Is Reddit has had that for such a long time. Reddit is has unique and perspectives.
It's built up this corpus too, where it's like you can find discussions from, you know, 6 years ago or whatever that are like relevant to whatever you're looking for. And like that's you know, it's hard to replace that.
I'm trying to think of all the ones I've had. I've had like need to replace screws in my TV because I don't have the original ones because I bought it open box or whatever, or like refurbed. Oh, great. It's this screw size. Let me drive to a Home Depot 25 minutes away that says they have that specific screw size.
Yeah.
You know, like some weird. I remember that interaction with Reddit in particular, but it's like, you know, that or like, oh, it's troubleshooting. It's really, really helpful. It's like kind of what Quora wanted to be at one point.
Exactly. And they invented it accidentally. That's what I find so funny is that like they didn't set out to do that, but they accidentally invented the perfect version of what Quora wanted to be. Yeah.
Ironically, so did Twitch, which there's a lot to talk about there, too. Twitch is not supposed to be what it is today. It was done all by accident.
That's right.
And it's patchwork a little bit, too. Yeah, I think. Do you think Discord is the ultimate replacement here? Do you think that that's where people go? And I think, you know, Discord does have a home directory that people can search through and find communities, but only if the community themselves publicly lists them. It is moderator operated, basically, to do that. But it's bad. That's not how people find Discords. People find Discords from third-party websites where they're being linked, Reddit, Twitter, etc., you know, like Patreons. They're not finding them in the directory. The Discord directory is not heavily used. So I'm curious how you think people will replace Reddit in their digest.
I have a relevant story here because I think Discord is already in the process of replacing a lot of these communities, so to speak. You know, it's not like it could replace everything that the other platforms do, but it's already sort of taking these groups of like-minded enthusiasts and putting them in one place. And, you know, I just, this is kind of a silly example that shows that I'm like a huge nerd, but like not enough of a nerd to have figured out how to do this on my own. But I was like trying to get a GOG game to run on my Steam Deck, right? And it's like a, you know, I was trying to patch it. I was trying to get this, like, it was a, you know, fan-made patch for a Japanese visual novel. And I was trying to get it patched on my Steam Deck so I could run it. And, like, the thing I had to do was go to a Discord, which I hardly ever use Discord. I'm completely, you know, almost a Discord virgin, right? Like, it's not my usual place to go to find things. But I went in to, you know, the Discord of the people who make the patch and, like, got very good help within, like, a day. Like, they helped me out and they helped me figure out what I was doing. And I was like, that was a great interaction. But, you know, it happened because I sort of knew where to go. Google wouldn't have sent me there, right? Like, I sort mm-hmm. of knew already where to go. So I think, like, on the positive side, communities of like-minded people are always going to find each other on the internet, and they're always going to be trying to help people out. And on the negative side, it's just going to be harder for everyone to find.
Right. And it's going to come with paywalls.
That's right.
Like, the biggest thing I would say to the listeners of this pod is that get ready to pay a lot of subscription dollars to a lot of different places.
Yeah. God,
you know, like, so much of what you've taken for granted, and I'm not insulting the people that listen to the podcast, so much of everybody that uses the internet is taken for granted is about to go behind a paywall for everything, because it's the amount of freemium type stuff that has existed out there, people using their skills and knowledge and expertise and everything else you'd had to pay a consultant for or anything else, like in any sort of, you know, method that you'd have to pay somebody to learn how to do something in your house, to do home improvement or whatever, all of that you would have to pay for it until the internet that gave you free advice, YouTube, Reddit, etc. And you're going to have to pay for it again if you want to do it yourself, even to learn. To better educate yourself. So I think that's the way we're headed. It's sad, but it felt like it was inevitable.
Yeah, I think that's totally right. Yeah.
So we're going to end the pod there. Alex, thank you very much for joining on. Alex Breen is a journalist. You can go read his piece on Defector about Reddit, which we will link in the show notes as well. Alex, thank you very much for joining us on the show.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
That's all for our show. If you enjoyed this episode of Visionaries, you can find more like it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, leave us a review. It really helps other people find the show. Special thanks to Prem Thottamkara, Sammy Daig, and Cecilia Ciocchetti for working on this episode. We'll be back next week with more Visionaries. See you then.